Hello and welcome to Property Money Tree's Maximising Property Values, the once a month show where I break down the steps of how to recognise, enhance and then extract the values in property in order to create wealth. Would you like to find out how you can benefit from the steps of maximising property values? This is even if you don't own a property yet or have a deposit. If that's a yes, then you're in the right place to find out. My name is Patricia Ogunfaber, and although many know me for my work as a solicitor, on this show you will be getting the benefit of my 30 plus years worth of experience of maximising property values, experience which has given me a net worth in millions. So who might benefit from listening to this show? Literally anyone with an interest in creating property wealth. Right. Welcome back. So I'm just going to dive straight into it. So we're now on chapter 4, which is titled Possession Grounds as They Will Be. This is a very technical area that in the main only experts, either expert landlords or expert professionals, will be able to successfully navigate, and strict compliance will be essential if possession is to be obtained. As assured tenancies will only be able to be ended by a tenant giving up to 2 months' notice to leave, or by the landlord obtaining possession via the courts, it is important that landlords have an idea of how they might be able to get possession of their properties if need be. And so I have summarised the possible grounds for information purposes. My summary has only been prepared for the most popular types of residential landlords in England and not agricultural ones at all. Please note that this is simply to give a flavour of what the grounds represent and is not a definitive representation. Also, I don't set out all the conditions. Mandatory grounds. The court must grant possession if the conditions are met. Ground one, the landlord or one of them, if there are joint landlords, needs the dwelling back as the main or principal home for any person in their immediate family. Things to note, the landlord or one of them, if there are joint landlords, must have given the tenant notice before the tenancy commenced or the court dispensed of the notice requirements, that at least one of them occupied the accommodation as a main home. The landlord, or one of them if there are joint tenants, needs it as the main home for an immediate family member and didn't buy the dwelling with the tenant already in it. The ground can only be used after the tenancy has run for at least 12 months. At least 4 months' notice must be given to the tenant. If there is a buy-to-let mortgage on the dwelling, this route might not be lawfully open to the landlord, as it will be a condition of the mortgage that the landlord and family members will not reside in the dwelling. If the dwelling is owned by a company, this ground might also not be readily available to landlords because companies are separate bodies in law and can't physically reside anywhere. The landlord cannot lawfully market, advertise or let the dwelling within the restricted period of 12 months after the date in the 4 months' notice stating from when the landlord may start proceedings in court to regain possession. Agents can also be liable here. Ground 1A. The landlord or one of them, if there are joint landlords, wishes to sell. Things to note. This ground can only be used after the tenancy has run for at least 12 months. At least 4 months' notice must be given to the tenant. Landlords should review current tenancies and determine if they might need to sell shortly or within 12 months of the start of their next tenancy. If so, they might wish to consider using the Section 21 notice procedure now if they can. Some buyers are put off when there is a tenant in situ. So after considering everything, landlords might want to decide if they will be better off obtaining vacant possession before they start marketing or not. Ground 1B. only relevant to private registered providers of social housing. Ground 2, only relevant to mortgage lenders. Ground 2ZA, for use by intermediate landlords. Things to note, this ground will be available to use where a superior lease will end within the next 12 months or the superior landlord has served valid notice to end the superior lease within the next 12 months and the landlord is a private registered provider of social housing, a tenant of a superior agricultural lease, a company in which a local authority owns at least 50% of the shares, or supplies the accommodation for supported living purposes. At least 4 months' notice must be given to the tenant. The tenant must be told before the tenancy starts that this ground might be relied on to gain possession. Ground 2ZB, for use by intermediate landlords. Things to note, this ground will be available to use where a long lease, 21 years or more, superior tenancy, fixed term, will end in the next 12 months or has ended and holds over and valid notice has been served to end it within the next 12 months. At least 4 months' notice must be given to the tenant. The tenant must be told before the tenancy starts that this ground might be relied on to gain possession. Ground 2ZC, for use by superior landlords. Things to note, this ground will be available to use if there is, for example, a rent-to-rent agreement, it ends and the assured tenant becomes a tenant of the superior landlord. The superior landlord will be able to seek possession if he serves a valid notice on the tenant within 6 months of the tenant becoming his tenant and the previous landlord is a private registered provider of social housing, a tenant of the superior agricultural lease, a company in which a local authority owns at least 50% of the shares or supplies the accommodation for supported living purposes. At least 4 months' notice must be given to the tenant. The tenant must be told before the tenancy starts that this ground might be relied on to gain possession. If the intermediate landlord gave proper notice under ground 2ZA, the notice can be treated as having been given by the superior landlord under this ground. Ground 2ZD, for use by superior landlords. Things to note. This ground will be available to use if there is, for example, a long lease rent-to-rent agreement, it ends and the assured tenant becomes the tenant of the superior landlord. The superior landlord will be able to seek possession if he starts possession proceedings within 6 months of the tenant becoming his tenant as a result of the long lease fixed term ending, or where the tenancy ended within 12 months of the end of the fixed term, or if the tenancy continued where a valid notice to end within 12 months has been served. At least 4 months' notice must be given to the tenant. The tenant must be told before the tenancy that this ground might be relied on to gain possession. If the intermediate landlord gave proper notice under ground 2ZB, the notice can be treated as having been given by the superior landlord under this ground. Ground 3. The holiday let ground is being abolished. Something to note. Does the landlord let out their holiday accommodation to individuals who will reside there as their main or principal home during quiet periods, stroke during off seasons? If so, they will no longer be able to evict using this ground. Ground 4. For use by specified educational institutions or other specified institution or body of persons. Things to note, if you do not know that you are one of these, there's a 99.9% chance that you're not. This will be available where the accommodation was let to a student within the last 12 months and notice was given to the tenant before a tenancy started that the accommodation was used for student lettings within 12 months before the tenancy. At least 2 weeks' notice must be given to the tenant.
The tenant must be notified before the tenancy starts that the ground might be relied on to gain possession. Ground 4A, for use in connection with HMO only, full-time student lets. Things to note, numerous conditions apply, so expert professional advice should be sought so that a full understanding of the possession parameters is achieved. The ground will fail if the tenant is not notified before the tenancy starts that the ground might be relied on to gain possession, or if the tenancy is granted more than 6 months before it starts. Before the tenancy starts, the tenant must be notified that they meet the student test and that the landlord will want to let it to another student the next time they let the accommodation. Tenancies in existence when the bill is passed into law will require that the landlord give the notice within 1 month of the commencement date of the law to be able to rely on this ground. Ground 5, only relevant to Minister of Religion lettings. Ground 5A, only relevant where letting is to an agricultural employee. Ground 5B, only relevant where letting is to an employee of a private registered provider of social housing. Ground 5C, property is required to let to another employee. Ground 5D, for use by private registered providers of social housing. Ground 5E, for use by a supported living provider. Things to note, this ground will be available for use where the accommodation is needed for supported living by a supported living provider and the tenant doesn't require supported living. At least 4 weeks' notice must be given to the tenant. The tenant must be told before the tenancy starts that this ground might be relied on to gain possession. Ground 5F, for use by a supported living provider. Things to note, this is a very detailed and technical ground, so expert professional advice should be sought now so that a full understanding of the possession parameters is achieved. The ground will be available where the supported living no longer meets the tenant's requirements or where it is not financially viable for the provider to provide the service and where external funding is needed to provide the service but is no longer available. At least 4 weeks' notice must be given to the tenant. The tenant must be told before the tenancy starts that this ground might be relied on to gain possession. Ground 5G, homelessness. Things to note. This ground will be available for use where the tenancy is granted under a local housing authority's homelessness duty and the local housing authority notifies the landlord that the accommodation is no longer required and the landlord seeks possession of the accommodation within 12 months of being so notified. At least 4 weeks' notice must be given to the tenant. The tenant must be told before the tenancy starts that this ground might be relied on to gain possession. Ground 5H, stepping stone accommodation. Things to note, this ground will apply where stepping stone accommodation is granted, the tenancy conditions are no longer met by the tenant, and the landlord is a private registered provider of social housing or a charity. At least 2 months' notice must be given to the tenant. The tenant must be told before the tenancy starts that this ground might be relied on to gain possession. Ground 6, demolition or reconstruction. Things to note, this ground will be available for use where the landlord or the superior landlord of a social landlord intends to demolish / reconstruct most or all of the dwelling. Numerous conditions apply. Whilst the word demolition seems clear enough, there is a lot of case law on the meaning of reconstruction, so expert professional advice may be required in any event. At least 4 months' notice must be given to the tenant. Tenancies in existence when the bill is passed into law will require that the landlord give notice of the intention to rely on this ground within 1 month of the commencement date of the law rather than before the tenancy started. Ground 6ZA, only relevant to social landlords regarding alternative accommodation provided during redevelopment. Ground 6A, compliance. Things to note. This ground is to make sure that an unlawful letting won't continue. For example, where the accommodation is unlicensed when required to be, or where HMOs are overcrowded. It will allow for compliance with enforcement action. At least 4 months' notice must be given to the tenant. Considering the time it may take to gain possession, any landlord who must rely on this ground may be facing a penalty of up to £40,000, see later. This ground may, however, be used by landlords of tenants who sneak a partner into an HMO room. The court may order the landlord to compensate the tenant for having to leave under this ground, and will be able to consider who and to what extent each party is responsible for the ground being available for use. Ground 7, death of tenant. Things to note. The most important condition here is that the landlord must seek possession within 12 months of the death. At least 2 months' notice must be given to the tenant's representative. Any guarantor obligations will end on the death of the tenant. Ground 7A, criminal tenants, will also cover serious antisocial behaviour. Things to note. This ground will be available where the tenant is convicted of a serious offence. This is another technical ground where expert professional advice should be sought at the earliest opportunity. It is worth noting that once all tenancies are assured tenancies, landlords won't be able to simply regain possession where the tenant has abandoned the premises. For example, they are imprisoned. Landlords will need to gain possession via the courts so that they are not guilty of an illegal eviction, while with assured short-hold tenancies, landlords could simply re-enter abandoned accommodation. No notice has to be given to the tenant and proceedings can commence immediately. Ground 7B, no right to rent. Things to note. This ground can be used where the Secretary of State has given notice to the landlord that the tenant doesn't have a right to rent. At least 2 weeks' notice must be given to the tenant. Ground 8, serious rent arrears. Things to note. The rent owing will increase from 2 to 3 months' worth. This must be the minimum amount owed at the time of giving notice and at the date of any court hearing. When calculating the amount owing, amounts due to the tenant as a housing element, which is part of universal credit benefits, must be discounted. At least 4 weeks' notice must be given to the tenant. Discretionary grounds. It will be up to the court as to whether possession is granted. Ground 9, suitable alternative accommodation. Things to note. This is available where the landlord can offer suitable alternative accommodation. Will that accommodation simply be waiting to be filled while the possession process is instigated? A lot of practical planning will be required here. At least 2 months' notice must be given to the tenant. Ground 10, arrears of rent. Things to note, this can be used where the rent is overdue, but the amount is less than that for a Ground 8 procedure. At least 4 weeks' notice must be given to the tenant. Ground 11, persistent late rent. Things to note, this ground will apply where the tenant is persistently late with their rent and perhaps pays in dribs and drabs. At least 4 weeks' notice must be given to the tenant. Ground 12, breach of tenancy other than rent. Things to note, at least 2 weeks' notice must be given to the tenant. This ground is self-explanatory, and the importance of a very well-drafted tenancy agreement cannot therefore be understated. Ground 13, conditions of letting or common areas deteriorated due to the tenant. Things to note, while there are conditions, this ground is more or less self-explanatory. At least 2 weeks' notice must be given to the tenant. Ground 14, nuisance, antisocial behaviour, or guilty of immoral acts. Things to note, this ground will apply, for example, where a HMO manager is being obstructed from carrying out their duties. This is the ground for dealing with antisocial behaviour, and the courts must now have regard to the effect such behaviour has on other occupiers of a HMO. Court action can start immediately, that is, no notice is required. But HMO license holders, stroke landlords, stroke managers should consider if the license for the dwelling requires a particular process to be followed in such cases. Ground 14ZA, convicted of an indictable offence, riot. Things to note, at least 2 weeks' notice must be given to the tenant. Ground 14A, domestic violence after one of them has left. Something to note, at least 2 weeks' notice must be given to the tenant. Ground 15, furniture deteriorated due to the ill treatment. Something to note, at least 2 weeks' notice must be given to the tenant. Ground 16, let in consequence of employment which has ceased. Something to note, at least 2 weeks' notice must be given to the tenant. Ground 17, the landlord was misled into letting the accommodation. Something to note, at least 2 weeks' notice must be given to the tenant. Ground 18, uncooperative in supportive living accommodation. Things to note, this ground can be used to gain possession from a tenant in supportive living accommodation who is refusing to cooperate with the provider. At least 4 weeks' notice must be given to the tenant. The tenant must be told before the tenancy starts that this ground might be relied on to gain possession. What will be the consequences of the change of law here? One, without being able to use the no-fault eviction process, landlords will need to be able to prove their cases, so having good evidence will be crucial to success. This may entail having very robust systems which may increase operating costs. Two, landlords should be aware that when the courts grant possession, even under the current law, the process can take 6 months to 2 years to conclude, even when using the accelerated procedure, which will no longer be available. Three, as much as I hate to say it, if you can't afford not to receive rent for 1 to 2 years, should your tenant stop paying, or because you can't let during a restricted period, you might want to consider selling up now. Four, the time cost of obtaining possession should not be underestimated, and with the new burdens intended to be put on the courts, it is considered that despite the current recruitment drive, the courts are still likely to be overwhelmed with the extra workload, thus extending the timeframes during which landlords will be able to gain possession of their properties. Five, if a local housing authority also believes beyond reasonable doubt that a landlord has done any of the following, it may issue the landlord with a penalty of up to £7,000. A, serves a notice to quit on the tenant. B, asks the tenant to leave through any means other than via the statutory procedure using a prescribed form. C, serves a prescribed form notice to leave on the tenant but doesn't think he'd get possession order. C, serves a prescribed notice form to leave on the tenant but doesn't think he'd get a possession order in court, and the tenant leaves within 4 months of the notice being served on them. It is unclear to me at this stage how using discretionary grounds, where by their very nature you are not guaranteed to be granted possession by the courts, will sit with this breach. No doubt time will tell, but my views now are that relying on a discretionary ground shouldn't be. Or D, seeks to rely on an eviction ground that requires that the tenant be told before the tenancy is entered into that the landlord may rely on the ground to evict the tenant, but failed to so notify the tenant. Six, further penalties can be issued if the contravention continues 28 days after a penalty which has not been appealed was issued, or 28 days after a court upholds the penalty decision if an appeal to the court was made, or if the appeal is abandoned. Seven, offences will be committed, the consequences of which can be prosecution with up to unlimited fines, or a financial penalty of up to £40,000 if the local housing authority chooses not to prosecute but fine instead, where the landlord, and if the landlord is a company, also its officers or managing members, if they cause the offence by action or omission. A, serves a prescribed form notice to leave on the tenant but doesn't think they'd get possession in court or is reckless as to whether they will get one, and the tenant leaves within 4 months of the notice being served on them. B, markets or lets accommodation after relying on grounds 1, needs the accommodation to live in, or 1A, needs possession to sell the accommodation within 12 months of the date in the 4 month notice, stating from when the landlord may start proceedings in court to regain possession. C, continues the conduct leading to the breach of the law for more than 28 days after a penalty which has not been appealed was issued, or 28 days after a court upholds the penalty decision if an appeal to the court was made, or if the appeal is abandoned, or D, has more than one penalty imposed for different conduct within 5 years. 8, an offence will also be committed, the consequences of which can be prosecution with up to unlimited fines or a financial penalty of up to £40,000 imposed if the local housing authority chooses not to prosecute but fine instead anyone other than a landlord, and if that person is a company, also its officers or managing members if they cause the offence by action or omission. Markets or lets accommodation after a landlord has relied on ground 1, needs the accommodation to live in, or ground 1A, needs possession to sell the accommodation within 12 months of the date in the 4 month notice, stating from when the landlord may start proceedings in court to regain possession. This person will be able to raise a reasonable excuse defence. 9. If a local housing authority believes beyond reasonable doubt that a landlord has breached the relevant provisions of the law and has issued the landlord with a penalty that has not been withdrawn or successfully appealed against, tenants and the local housing authorities will be able to apply for rent repayment orders of up to 2 years' worth of rent paid where breaches are continuing, for A, serving a notice to quit, B, trying to end a tenancy with oral notice, C, serving a false notice of possession, D, relying on a possession ground recklessly and the tenant leaves within 4 months, E, serving a notice to quit on the tenant or asking the tenant to leave through any means other than via the statutory procedure using a prescribed form, F, serving a prescribed form notice to leave on the tenant while not believing they'd get a possession order in court and the tenant leaves within 4 months of the notice being served on them. 10. Other things to note are that A, business partners can be held jointly and severally liable. B, company officers or managing members can be equally liable as the offending company if they consented, connived, or were negligent regarding the company's offence. As I read this, if there are, for example, 3 culpable directors, the fines for offences could be up to £160,000. One of up to £40,000 for the company and one of up to £40,000 for each director. C, courts cannot grant possession to a landlord unless there are no deposit scheme or Tenant Fees Act infringements. If there are, these will first need to be repaid to the tenant unless the landlord is relying on ground 7A and or 14. How to mitigate the potential risks with the grounds. 1. Find a reputable possessions outfit that you can call on if the need arises. It will be prudent to make sure that they carry indemnity insurance, for example, solicitors, as now is the time to forge needed relationships. 2. Review your current tenancy agreements and consider getting new ones drafted by an expert professional who carries indemnity insurance, particularly if you might wish to rely on a ground that requires prior notice to be given to the tenant that you might rely on it to get possession and notice hasn't been given. 3. You might wish to consider using the Section 21 notice procedure now if your tenant won't agree to a new tenancy that will allow you to give the prior notice. There is a finite window of opportunity before the bill becomes law. If you think you might need to sell shortly, or if you think that once the bill becomes law, the Labour government might introduce overt rent controls. 4. Be on top of all deposit and tenancy fees, duties, and pay them back if required, as failures apart from with grounds 7A and 14 will stop the courts from being able to grant possession. 5. Familiarise yourself with the new possession grounds and ask yourself if you have any current tenants that you are perhaps giving the benefit of the doubt and that you would not be able to evict without the Section 21 procedure. If so, try to envisage what life would look like with that tenant were the bill to be enacted. Would you be stuck with them until they gave you notice, if ever? If you are content, that's fine. If not, consider issuing a Section 21 notice while you still can. If you can, certain conditions must be fulfilled before this can be done, but discussing these are outside the scope of this book. And first, seek expert professional advice. The current prescribed form for serving these notices is copied and in Appendix 2 for your information. 6. If you've already served a Section 21 notice, is it valid? If you are not sure, get it reviewed, as renters' unions might advise tenants to challenge all last minute Section 21 notices, because if the court finds it defective, that will be that. 7. HMO landlords are likely to have fewer grounds to rely on, as they are unlikely to want or lawfully be able to live in the dwelling. So again, all tenancies should be reviewed now. 8. Listen to your gut. If need be, serve your Section 21 notice now, because once the bill becomes law, you will no longer be able to lawfully use this means of eviction. The current prescribed forms for serving Section 8 notices, the only kind of notice that will be lawful once the bill becomes law, is copied and in Appendix 3 for your information. 9. Talk to your tenants. Some tenants ask to be evicted under this process and they might not be aware of the coming changes. 10. Consider reducing all tenant communications to writing so that there's a record of all communications. If so, you should notify your tenants that this will be the only way of communicating going forward. Least of all, it should nullify the risk of a landlord being falsely accused of orally asking a tenant to leave. 11. Put some money aside for potential court cases, even if you don't think the potential risks might ever happen to you. 12. Rework your figures before you decide on your rent. What would you need to charge on the assumption, no matter how unlikely, that the new tenancy will only last for 2 months? 13. Student landlords might want to look at their business plans in detail. What will they do if a tenant gives notice after a residence of, say, 4 months? What do you do if you are a non-institutional, non-HMO student landlord? How will you regain possession if there is a problem? Agents should make sure they are aware of the duties imposed by the proposed law and carry indemnity insurance in case they get things wrong, or they should limit the services that they offer to those within their area of knowledge and expertise. 15. Company directors and other officers should be aware of their duties and discharge them diligently. The potential financial liability if they are careless is likely to be high. 16. If director's insurance is taken out, care should be given to the small print. Will the insurer pay out if the fine has resulted from the insured's fault? Now, that was a long one. I did say last month and the month before that it was a long and technical one, but I wanted to finish it in one go. There's nothing to stop people from pausing and going back to it, and there's nothing to stop people from rewinding and re-listening. And furthermore, there's nothing to stop people from buying the book. So the book is available on Amazon. It's £2.50, and all royalties go to Centrepoint, which is a youth homelessness charity. And the name of the book, I'm sure everyone knows, is Be Prepared, Renters' Rights and Residential Landlords in England. And I have written it, Patricia Ogunfable. If you go onto Amazon and you just Google Renters' Rights, Be Prepared, Patricia, it really should bring the book up. See you next month.